Now we get to go to God's Word, and you need to be on Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, and we'll see how far we can get. Give you a minute to get there. Genesis chapter 42. And in just a minute, we'll begin by remembering our baptismal promises and having a prayer to have our Lord bless our study together. So Genesis 42. Let's begin by remembering our baptismal promise. We have been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am a baptized, forgiven child of God, united to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His victory is my victory. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you once again for keeping us safe and sound through the night and bringing us to this day, the day that your Son rose from the dead, to give us forgiveness and life. As the Holy Spirit has given us these Holy Scriptures, we pray that the Holy Spirit working through these Scriptures would open our minds to understand, and above all, our hearts to accept, to believe what He has revealed to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, Genesis 42. The story is developing right along here. You remember where we left it off in Genesis 41. Joseph interpreted the dreams of the Pharaoh properly, about there'd be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So during those 7 years of plenty, the people of Egypt had to store up all the grains and foodstuffs so that when the 7 years of famine came, they would have more than enough food. And the Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of that, and Joseph became the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh. And that's kind of where we left it last week. Let's go to maybe the last verses of 41, verses 56 and following. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. And this was our transition verse. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain because the famine was severe over all the earth. So we know that hit the promised land too and Joseph's family. And that's where we pick it up then in chapter 42, verse 1. When Jacob, of course, being over in the promised land, learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" That's a typical way a dad would talk to sons, right? "What are you standing here for? Can't you see we need food? You know there's food in Egypt. Do I have to think of everything?" I'm a dad. I know what that's like. Okay. And then he says, "Behold," and you know how that behold, that means something important is being said. "I have heard that there's grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain there for us that we may live and not die." Verse 3. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. Now there's 10 because 11 would be Joseph is in the land of Egypt. They don't know that yet, right? But Benjamin stayed behind, as we're going to find out. So 10 brothers go down. And so 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, for but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother. Now, did you catch that? That's going to be important. Remember, Jacob had four wives, okay, and Joseph only had one brother of the same mother, and that was Rachel. Remember, Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife, and she had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. That's going to play into this story, so remember that. Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brothers, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Now, let's put this in context. I'm sure he loved all of his sons, you know, but remember, Rachel was his favorite wife, right? And she only had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. He had already lost Joseph. And he didn't want to have to answer to his deceased wife one day of also being irresponsible and losing her only other son, Benjamin. That's kind of the emotions. I want you to get into the story that way. That's what's going on here. Not Benjamin. So, verse 5. Thus the sons of Israel, 10 of them, came to buy among the others. In other words, remember, the famine just didn't hit Egypt. It's in the promised land and all the surrounding areas. So not only are Jacob's sons coming, but other people also have heard there's food in Egypt. You can imagine it's drawing people like a magnet. So others are coming too, who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Verse 6. By the way, I want to, let me add something here. I forgot about this. Benjamin would be about 22 years old right now. 22 years old. And I think he was about one when Joseph was sold into slavery. So there's a little gap there. We'll come back to that. Now, Joseph was the governor over the land, second most powerful man in all of Egypt. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. So he has oversight of all this. You know, he says all of his administrators, remember there were several distribution points in the land of Egypt. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Any bells and whistles going off there? It's chapter 37:7 if you want to look it up. Right? Remember the dream he had? His brothers would bow down to him, and his brothers took that real well, didn't they? They already didn't like Joseph because they feared he was the favorite of dad anyway. And here he's saying, we're going to bow down to you. Well, here we go. Verse 7, Joseph saw his brothers and recognized him, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. Because he's got a plan in mind here, as we're going to see as this is all going to develop. Now remember, as we'll see this, it'll say it explicitly here in a moment. He recognized them, even though some years had passed. But they didn't recognize him, remember, because A, they thought he was probably dead or a slave someplace. It's been about 22 years since they sold him. He was about 17 when they sold him. He was about 39 right now. So they don't recognize him because he looks more mature and older. And remember, what is he dressed up like? An Egyptian. So he's shaved clean like an Egyptian, in contrast to the Israelites who would have beards and things like that. So they don't recognize him. Where do you come from? He said. They said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them. So, you know, I've told you this. We've said this the last couple of weeks. We go through life just like Joseph, and it wasn't real obvious that God was with him through all this, was it? Yeah. Betrayed by his brothers, abused by his brothers, sold off into slavery to a foreign land. He does the right moral Christian thing of not having an adulterous relationship with Potiphar's wife, and he's rewarded by being thrown into prison. And then he interprets the dreams of the Pharaoh's servants about one would be restored to his position, the other would die. Right? That's exactly what happened. And when the fellow went off to be restored to serving Pharaoh, he said, "Would you remember me?" And of course, what? He didn't. See, and I'm just trying to put you back in here because it's so easy to miss these things that just like you and I mean, I don't know if he did or not, but I know me. About right now, I'd be thinking, where's my God? He says he loves me. He says he's with me. It doesn't look very obvious right now. Probably times in your life like that too, right? Times in my life like that sometimes. And yet we keep going back to Romans chapter 8 where Paul says that all things work to the good. But that doesn't mean in the morning. We want things done what? Right now. But as we're going to see how this story is going to develop, God had a plan all along. Joseph didn't know every step of the way. And now we're starting to see this unfold a little bit, right? So Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them, about them bowing down to him. And he said to them, "You are spies, and you have come to see the nakedness of the land." So he's kind of treating them kind of roughly here, isn't he? Now, the thing is, because I've read the story over and over again and read a few commentaries, so you won't think I'm so smart. But what he's doing here, this is a test. He hasn't seen his brothers for what? 22 years. And he knows what they were like the last time he saw them, right? So what do you think he's looking for? Is he going to test them? What do you think he's looking for? Have there been any changes in them? How am I going to respond to them? He doesn't know if Jacob's alive. He doesn't know the status of Benjamin. He doesn't know what's gone on. He's going to test them. To test their what? Their character. Are they the same old guys that threw me in that pit and hated me and sold me off into slavery? They said to him, "No, my Lord, your servants have come to buy food." You can imagine how terrified they would be. Because Egypt was a powerful civilization. And here there's 10 guys standing in the court of the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. We are sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies. And he said to them, no, it's the nakedness of the land that you've come to see. So he keeps pushing this. No, you're spies. How do I know I can trust you? And they said, we, your servants, are 12 brothers. See how he's pulling this out of them? The sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is no more. Oh, now, what did Joseph just learn there? Jacob and Benjamin are still what? Still alive. He heard that. Yeah, and he's dead. Yeah, and Joseph is dead. That's right. And that's right. That's right. He's no more. That's right. That's what the brothers think. See? So they think Joseph is dead. They know what they did to him. But Joseph said to them, it is as I said to you, you are spies. By this you shall be tested, by the life of Pharaoh. In other words, he's kind of swearing by the Pharaoh, not in a sense of like we do with God, but in the land of Egypt, of course, there's no higher authority than Pharaoh. So on the basis of the authority of Pharaoh, I am telling you, you shall not go from this place unless your younger brother comes here, Benjamin. And that would be his only natural brother from their common mother, Rachel. So they all had the same dad, but the 12 sons had four different mothers, and Joseph and Benjamin were the sons of Rachel, his favorite wife. And we went all through that story in the past. Verse 16, send one of you and let them bring your brother while you remain confined. I bet their knees are shaking about now, can't you imagine? That your words may be tested, whether there is truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, that is, by his authority, surely you are spies. Now, he hasn't said it explicitly, but what do you think they did to spies? Exactly, yeah. He's got their attention. And he put them all together in custody for 3 days. Now, we're going to see how this is going to develop, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. During those 3 days, do you think the boys talked among themselves a little bit? This is time Joseph is giving them to reflect on the past, because Joseph knows the whole story. Now that he knows Jacob and Benjamin are alive, he's letting them think it over about what they did. And this is going to come out, what they did to Joseph 22 years earlier, okay? And what's going on now? It's a time for their conscience to be tweaked, okay? So then on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody. Now, look how it's changed here. Originally, he said, all of you will be confined and one can go back. Now, he's saying, okay, I've changed my mind. You can all go back except one. Kind of like a hostage. Let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody, and let the rest go and carry grain for the famine of your household, and bring your youngest brother, that would be Benjamin, to me. So your words will be verified, and you shall not die if you do this. And they did so. Then they said to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother. Which brother do you think they're thinking about? Joseph. As we're going to see, Joseph. You know, we can bury our conscience only so long. Have you ever noticed that? And then days, weeks, months, years later, there's that incident again bothering us, right? That's what's happening to them. This has brought this all back to memory. In that we saw the distress of his soul. Remember how they took Joseph? How they took the coat of many colors and they shredded it and put lamb's blood on it and told their father Jacob that he had been eaten by a wild animal, put him down in the pit, down there in the pit for a while, and then sold him off into slavery to Egypt. When he begged us and we did not listen. Now, what's interesting when you read the Bible a lot, that phrase, he begged us and we did not listen, isn't in the original text where they actually did this. So here we get extra information. Joseph was actually pleading with them. What are you doing? You know, I'm your brother. What about Jacob, our father? So he begged us and we did not listen. This is why this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, didn't I tell you that? You might remember that. I mean, Reuben doesn't have a sterling history himself. Remember, he committed adultery with Bilhah, one of the wives of his father. That was really bad. But he did try to save Joshua. Remember that? Reuben was going to protect them. They were going to kill him. Remember that? They were going to kill him. He said, no, we can't kill him. So they put him in the pit, and you might remember then Reuben went off someplace, and in Reuben's absence, they sold him into slavery. And he comes back and says, well, where's the boy? Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you did not listen. So now, there comes a reckoning for his blood. So, man, lots of guilt going around right now. They did not know that Joseph understood them. Now, picture this. Picture a really fancy Egyptian palace. You know, a court, and Joseph with his throne, and these nomads from the promised land, Canaan, standing there, and they're carrying this conversation in front of Joseph because they would think that he wouldn't understand their language, because Egyptians didn't like foreigners anyway. See? But because it was Joseph, he heard and understood everything they were saying, which gives more input for Joseph about, are these the same men, or has there been some changes that have taken place in the last 22 years? And Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter between them. So Joseph went along as if he didn't understand. So whenever the brothers would speak to him, the interpreter would speak to Joseph as if he didn't understand what was going on. There's some emotional parts in the Bible. This is one of them. It's going to come up again. Then he turned away from them and what? Wept. I looked up the word weep and wept in the Bible. It shows up a lot. In this world, you will have tribulation. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? All this is coming back to him. He's seeing the fulfillment of those dreams and promises that God gave to him coming to the fore. He doesn't know precisely what's going to happen next, but he was just overcome emotionally. And he's going to become overcome emotionally again. We're going to see it. Now, he didn't weep in their presence because it says, and he returned to them. So they didn't see him weeping. We'll see that again. He controls himself. As long as he's in their presence, he's this authority figure of this Egyptian, the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. But he goes off to the side and he weeps. And he returned to them and spoke to them. And he took Simeon. Now, Simeon, you might remember, are with his brother Levi. They're the ones that took revenge on their sister Dinah. Remember? Their sister Dinah was raped. And you remember what Simeon and Levi did? They went along playing with these other people, Canaanites, non-Israelites, saying, well, maybe we can all become one clan and flock here, and we can all share all of our goods. And that sounded good to the neighbors because Jacob and his clan was very, very wealthy. And they said, sure. And you remember then they said, however, for us to go forward, you have to be circumcised. Okay, then they convinced themselves because of all the stuff they were going to get by becoming one with the Israelites. They said, okay. And then they were circumcised, we're told, on the third day, which apparently is the worst day for the pain. Then they went in and what? Slaughtered them. So this is Simeon. What goes around? Comes around. So he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Now, can you imagine their terror? First of all, this Egyptian authority, he's speaking roughly with them. He's accusing them of being spies. And then he takes one of the brothers and purposely binds them right in front of him. And Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain and to replace every man's money in his sack. And as we're going to see, Joseph had a purpose for that. And to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. So they got all the grain. They don't know money's been put in the sack. And off they go, back to the promised land. Then they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, this would be like, like on the I-5, we have rest spots. That's a place like this for visitors. I mean, it wouldn't be as nice as what we have, but it's a place that you could rest and you could find fodder for your animals and things like that. So it's a rest spot on I-5, so to speak. Hotel 6. Motel 6. My idea of camping. That's another story. He saw his money in the mouth of his sack. That means on the top of the sack. In other words, it was put there so he couldn't what? He couldn't miss it. It was not down at the bottom where he had to dig through. It's right there on top. And he said to his brothers, my money has been put back. Here it is in the mouth of my sack. At this, their heart failed them. Now, you can figure that out. Why, don't you? Because what are they going to say? Good grief. Now they're going to think we're not only spies, but we also stole from them. Yikes, this is getting worse and worse. And they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is it that God has done to us? I wonder how often where they went back to the story of Joseph and how they treated him and put him in the pit. Can you say guilty conscience? When they came to Jacob, their father in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man, did you know they do that? Yeah, I kind of thought I couldn't help about the slang in our culture. Hey, he the man. I'm sure that's not exactly the way they meant it. But notice they don't even use a name. Maybe they didn't know his name. I don't know. Now, they wouldn't know the name Joseph, but you remember he was given an Egyptian name by the Pharaoh. Maybe they didn't even know the Egyptian name. It was just this really authority figure who spoke to it. The man, the Lord of all the land, spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the land. But we said to him, we are honest men. We have never been spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more. Of course, that's Joseph. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the Lord of the land, said to us, by this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me and take grain for the famine of your households and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me. Then I shall know that you are not spies but honest men and will deliver your brother to you, Simeon, who stayed behind, and you shall trade in the land. Verse 35. As they got around to emptying all the sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. Oh, it's getting worse now. Early at that stopping off point is that rest point. Only one sack had money. And now you'd think they'd all look at it, but apparently they didn't. Now that they get home, start unloading all the grain, there's money in all the sons' sacks. So this is going from bad to worse. And when they saw their father, and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid even more. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Now, what's interesting here? Isn't this interesting how this is said? And this is a little bit of speculation. But if Dad says it like that, do you think maybe he had just some sneaky suspicions that he didn't get the whole truth from his brothers 22 years earlier? I mean, surely he had to know the tensions and rivalries among the siblings. We're not told, but that's the implication. And Simeon is no more because he's kept behind in Egypt as a prisoner. And now you want to take Benjamin. All this has come against me. 37, then Reuben, and remember Reuben was the one who didn't want to kill Joseph and was not aware when they sold him off into slavery. He said, kill my two sons, if I do not bring him back to you. Now, that's a good father. He didn't say, kill me. Now, I'm sure it would have been a sacrifice. But he didn't say, kill me. You notice that? And that might come back a little bit. So I don't want to be too frivolous. He's trying to do something right here. I'll bring them back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you. So Jacob is adamant. No. For his brother's dead, that's Joseph, and he's the only one left. Now, isn't this interesting? Because this was part of the rivalry. Everybody probably would have known from personal experience or hearsay that even though he had four wives, Rachel was his favorite, and therefore the two sons of that wife, Joseph and Benjamin, would have a certain standing with him. So he says, only is one left. He said, well, Dad, we're here too. You get it? Okay, let me find my spot again. For his brother is dead and he's the only one left. If harm should happen to him, Benjamin, on the journey that you are to make, you would bring my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol, that is the grave and death. Okay. Oh, gosh, it's five after. Okay, that's where we're going to stop then. That's fortuitous. That's a good place to stop. Well, the choir's going up to get ready for service. Maybe we'll stop there. Now, we'll take up chapter 43. Let's see, next Sunday. Oh, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And every pastor in the land is saying, I'm so glad it's not in the morning. It's 3:30 in the afternoon, so you can come to church. Okay, let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.